Welcome to this week's edition of Holy Apostles' Weekly Sermons.
Church, we understand that this particular passage from St. Luke's Gospel concerning the man Zacchaeus holds a certain place in the liturgical calendar for us. It is the herald, the one that goes before, the forerunner as it were, coming before and proclaiming to us the coming of the season of the great fast, the time of great Lent. And so we have this story concerning Zacchaeus, who was the chief among the publicans in Jericho. You recall the publicans were those who were tax collectors who were collaborating with the Roman overlords, the Roman state, and they were hated above all men. Above all men, the name publican was synonymous. It meant the same thing as a sinner. because of their way of life, which consisted of extortion from their fellow countrymen, collaboration with the overlords, and consequently living a life of great ease and wealth off of this extortion and collaboration. So it's nothing. You see this again and again in the Gospels, like in this case here in verse 7. They all murmured because they say he's gone to be guest with the one who is a sinner. They don't even identify clearly his sin because publican encompassed all of it. So Zacchaeus is not just a publican, but he's the chief among the publicans. He's the head of the local publican administrative branch for the Roman officers. And so, nevertheless, when Jesus comes into his territory, something within him compels him to go see who Jesus is. And it's not insignificant that it says he sought to see Jesus who he was. He had some desire not just to see a passing rabbi, but to see something important about this rabbi. Something within the heart of Zacchaeus responded to the coming of Christ. And he sought to see him genuinely, with sincerity. And so he does something which is really strange. He runs before the crowd because he's very short, and he climbs up into a tree so that he can look over the crowd and see Jesus. And so Jesus, when he comes to the place, looks up and says, "Zacchaeus, come down. Today I'm going to come stay at your house." And Zacchaeus climbs quickly down from the tree, receives Christ joyfully, brings him into his house, and they all murmur, saying, "Jesus has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stands up and says, "Lord, behold." This is an immediate and dramatic conversion. "Half of my goods I give to the poor." And it's in the verb is in the present tense, as in, "I am doing this," not "I'm going to do it tomorrow." Now, "I bestow half of my goods to the poor." And then he goes on to say, if I have taken anything from anyone unjustly by false accusation, I restore to him fourfold." Now, this was precisely the penalty that was laid down by the ancient Mosaic law, that if you plundered someone by accusing them falsely, and it was proven to be the case, then your restoration to them was fourfold, right? If I lied to you and as a result of that lie I was able to take $100 from you, then the penalty for that would be I had to give you $400 back. So Zacchaeus declares before the Lord and everyone there who's murmuring that he's a sinner, that he is now going to fulfill the law of Moses. "I will restore everything I have taken by false accusation fourfold." But if you understand it carefully, if you look at it carefully, you'll see Zacchaeus has literally stripped himself of all of his wealth. Because that's how he made his money. The only money he had was taken by false accusation. The publican system was designed to crush conquered peoples by the Roman imperial system. So that they got the conquered peoples to collaborate with them, and then they assigned each collaborator, each publican, tax collector, a territory or a region or a neighborhood, whatever, and then they gave him a quota. "We expect this much in taxes to come from this region. Whatever you get more than that is yours to keep." So whenever you see a publican who's rich, as Zacchaeus was, that means he was very good at getting money out of people. And he was able to pay his obligations to the Roman state, and he lived well off the rest of it. He was literally extorting money out of his fellow Jews. It's how he made his living. And therefore, when he says, "Anything I've taken by false accusation, I restore fourfold," it means he's leaving himself with nothing. He is literally giving everything he has away and following the Lord. And so Jesus commends him and says, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this is also a son of Abraham, that he is now, not before in the time of his iniquity, but now in his repentance he has become a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." So Zacchaeus is a tremendous model for us of repentance, of responding to Christ. But I want to go back to, briefly, before I finish up here, go back to the initial response that Zacchaeus has to Christ, and that is to climb up into this tree. to look over the heads of the crowd, to publicly embarrass himself so that he can see who Jesus Christ is. And I want to go back to that because you know that the Sunday of Zacchaeus, as I told you already, proclaims the coming of the great fast. And I'm afraid that many of us are tempted with a particular thought this year, and that thought is, we just finished a great fast. And here comes another one. We have two 40-day fasts in our liturgical year, and this year, because of the peculiarities of the calendar, they come upon one another closely. I should tell you that you should be glad that you're on the new calendar, because on the old calendar they're even closer.
True.
This thought is just a temptation. Because if we understood, why is it that Zacchaeus Sunday comes before the great fast? Because it's like this herald. If we climb, it's symbolically climbing up into the tree and looking across the crowd, which is all those weeks of the fast, and seeing at the opposite end of it, seeing Jesus. That's what the Zacchaeus Sunday means. It means that we, like Zacchaeus, stand up and we look forward to see Jesus Christ, who he is. And when we see who he is at Pascha, we see Christ, the resurrected Son of God, who has conquered death and overthrown the power of the devil and given his victory to us. And if we understood this clearly, then we would run to the fast. We wouldn't sit there and think, oh my goodness, another one. I just fasted for 40 days and now we have another one coming. No. If we truly understood the grace of seeing who Jesus Christ is, we would run to it. Can it come sooner? Can it be stricter? Can it be longer? If only I can see Christ. Because this is precisely the blessing the church gives us in this case. Why does the fast come to us? So we can purify ourselves. Like Zacchaeus, repent of our former sins and put them thoroughly away from us. Lust and greed and wrath and gluttony, put them away completely. Who would not run to be purified? Are we scared of that? Do we really not want the purity that comes from fasting? I suspect that we don't really. And that's why I'm saying this to you today. I count myself among you. I've said this at home, my children will tell you. Another fast is coming up. So I say this to rebuke myself together with all of you. But will we not willingly run to the purity of the fast to purify our hearts and our souls from our passions so that we may worthily behold Jesus Christ? Let us put this tempting thought away, brothers and sisters, because we, like Zacchaeus, are called to invite the Lord into our house. Saint Theophylact says, when the Lord says, today salvation has come to this house, he's not talking about the physical structure of the house that Zacchaeus lived in. He's talking about Zacchaeus. Today salvation has come to Zacchaeus, to live in him, to dwell in him, because he has repented of his former sins and he has seen Jesus Christ. He has come to a knowledge of the Lord. So let us also, brothers and sisters, put away this tempting thought and run with joy into the arms of the coming fast. Let us run with joy to the opportunities to put away our passions, to the opportunities to purify our hearts, the opportunities to learn how to pray if we haven't already, so that we may truly behold Christ in his glory, risen from the dead, giving his victory to us. To the Lord Jesus Christ, together with his Father and the Holy Spirit, be all glory, honor, and worship unto ages of ages. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is in our shop.